In times like these, and boy, in times like these, we sure need a Savior, don't we? And I want to encourage you today. I'm not here with a apocalypse sermon. I'm afraid too many people watch too many science fiction movies. But I want to help you, okay? I want to talk to you about something that really bothers us all. Some people wouldn't admit it. They'll say that they never fear. Psalm 42. We're going to read the whole psalm, but I want to help you beat your fears today. I want you to help me as I preach by praying for me, because it's hard to preach to empty seats, even though my wife's here. She's heard all my sermons. I got the same sermons I preach over and over. I just put different titles on them. Psalm 42, and I hope you're there. I'm going to read the whole chapter of Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God, unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And if you'll look at verse 5 and verse 11 will be our text today. I'll read them again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And then verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. We certainly live in terrible, troubled times. We certainly do. Certainly we do. Times of much sin and now much sickness. If we don't watch out, we'll watch so much TV news and read so many newspapers and internet broadcasts that we'll forget who we are. We'll forget who we are. Now, I'm not a name it and claim it preacher. I believe the sun shines on the just and the unjust. I believe sickness and disease and death are here because of sin that started in the garden way back there. It started, and it's been that way ever since. There have been plagues. There's been pestilence. There's been wars. There's been all kinds of things that fell on the just and the unjust. And so I'm not here to beat anybody up. I'm not here to say this has fallen on us because. Only God knows because. And, excuse me, I do know this, though. If I read my Bible, just like I just read Psalm 42, I know this, that if I look to God, His countenance, His face, He'll shine on me. If I call on Him, He will answer me and show me great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If I call, He will answer. He said He would. Christians have problems too. But we of all people shouldn't let it get us down. We ought to look up. And there's only a few ways that we can beat fear. Fear is our number one enemy. Fear will drive you away from God. Fear will drive you away from the house of God. Fear will drive you away from the works of God and the word of God and the people of God. But there are several ways we can beat that fear. We don't have to fear. Now, I'm not saying don't be wise. We'll be wise, but we'll not be fools. And we'll be fearful, but not live in fear. I'm fearful that some guy's going to fall asleep or text him while he's driving and sideswipe my car, hit me head on. But I don't let that keep me at home. I don't live in fear. Now, I fear getting a car wreck, so I pay attention. I do whatever I've got to do. I'm not going where the drunks are, you know, things like that. I don't live in fear, but I'm fearful of sickness. All of us ought to be fearful of that. We'll take care of ourselves. We'll eat right. We'll sleep right. There's some biblical principles for that. Nothing wrong with that. We'll come out from among them. And concerning sin, the Bible tells us. But common sense says do that concerning sickness also. Now, but I'm not going to live to the point where I'm afraid to go out of the house and I'm afraid. Me and my wife, she worked me to death yesterday in the yard. I wasn't scared in my yard? Now, I was scared of my wife, but I wasn't scared of the virus in my yard. And I worked in my yard a lot, and my body told me that today. But I'm not going to get so fearful I lock myself up in my room, won't come out. But I'm going to have enough wisdom not to go where the sickness and all these things are. So how do I not live in fear? How do I beat fear? Okay? How do I beat fear? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Turn to, I hope you have your Bible today. My goodness. I hope it's old King James Bible. I don't use anything else. Wouldn't dare to. And March 5th, 1978, I got saved out of Bully Falconberry preaching out of a King James Bible. And I went and got me one a little while later, and I've been using it ever since. I don't see a need to change. But now, whatever you got, turn to Philippians 4, 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. How do we beat fear? How do we stop living in a state of fear? Now, the government has told us that we need to do distancing. We need to stay away from big crowds and things like that. Now, they've got it down to 10. They've got it down to 10. And at first, I didn't like that. I thought, well, that's not really good. They're telling me that. But then I started looking at pictures of New York City. The streets are deserted. California, the streets are deserted and the hospitals are full. And the reason being is because people did not live wisely. They lived foolishly and ignored warnings and they ignored truth and they decided, that they could do it their way. Well, here's the way we've got to do it, not live in fear. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 8. In verse 8, this is how you do it. Look at it, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Number one, if I'm not going to live in fear, I'm going to have to believe the positive. I come from Lancaster. I was raised up in Lancaster, and most everybody I knew down there, If you had a silver lining, they could put a dark cloud right in the middle of it. And I don't want to be like that. I believe God. I believe God can take care of me. I believe no weapon formed against me can harm me unless he allows it. So I'm going to be positive. And I just keep thinking, you know, my mama was born in 1919. She just died, I think, 2 years ago now. And she lived to be 99 and a half. And my mama, for 99 and a half years, saw a lot of things. But I heard my mama talk. She worried about her children a lot. But I never really saw her fearful. I never knew my father. I never knew a man living in my house. And she raised us and fed us. But I never saw her afraid. I saw her concerned. I saw her loving. But I never saw her that negative. And we've got to be positive in any case. In any case. Did you know negativity can hurt you? Being a negative person can affect your mental health, your physical health, your spiritual health. The Bible says look for these things, the beautiful things, the lovely things, the virtuous things. Even though all this sickness is going on and all this separation is going on, there's a lot of good people still out there. We got a church full of good people. And these people love one another. And I'll guarantee you, you get feeling blue, you call one of us and we'll help you. We'll help you, whatever you need. Call me, call Rudy, call my wife, call any of these church members. Because I am positive this will pass. This will pass. Now, if you've been watching those old science fiction movies, you know, and zombie movies and all that stuff, you're setting yourself up to be afraid of everything. Look, read your Bible. Read your Bible. And then think the positive, all right? You can look for good in anything. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 5. I said, if we're going to get through this and not live in a state of fear and beat the fears, we're going to have to believe the positive. We've got to be positive. God, I'm 65 years old. God's brought me through a lot of things. And I'm the last of 9 children. There was 4 older than, 4 boys and 4 girls, and I had 1 younger than me, a year younger than me. And I'm the last one here. And I don't know why God did that, but I know this, I'm positive. God's got good things for me. And I didn't know what he was going to do with me when I was a little boy, and I didn't know what he was going to do with me when I was a teenager. And then when I did get saved, nobody wanted to believe it. And then when he called me to preach, they certainly didn't want to believe it. But I understand this, God's got some positive for you and me. All right, now 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, if you will. Look at verse 10. But the God of all grace, remember that word grace means undeserved favor. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now there's a purpose. I don't know what everything happened for, but God does. There's a purpose. And if Romans 8 is true, all things work together for the good of them that love God. Not everybody does it work together for the good of, but those that love God, there's nothing that can come into my life that God cannot turn that around for his purpose. For his purpose. Now look at Job. Most of you never read, well, I ain't going to say most of you, but a lot of you's never read Job. You ought to read Job. I mean the whole book. And you'll see that Job had very little to live for after God allowed the devil to attack him. He had very little to live for. And yet he kept a positive. He kept a positive. And he looked for a purpose. He didn't know why it was happening, but he knew there was a purpose. And then in the end, God rewarded him by twice as much as what he allowed the devil to take away from him. Now, there's a purpose for these things. There's a purpose for sickness. There's a purpose for heartbreak. There's a purpose for disappointment. There's a purpose for these things. Look for the purpose. I'm going to give you one, I think. There's a lot of Christians going to be locked up in their house for the next few weeks, bored to death, and finally some of them's going to open their Bible and start reading it. Some of them's going to get so scared they're going to get sick that they're going to start praying more. Some are going to feel so sorry for other people that are sick that they'll start serving more, serving others more. There's a purpose for things. There's a purpose. Look for the purpose. Believe the positive and then look for a purpose that things happen in your life that God put them there. Nothing can get to us except God allows it. The devil's not stronger than God. Sickness is not stronger than God. If there is anything, there's a purpose in everything. Now, I said look for the positive. Look for the purpose. Believe the positive. And then Romans 15. Turn over to Romans 15, if you will. Verse 4. And verse 13. Now, preacher, why are we going through this? I thought God would take care of us. Preacher, why are we going through this? I thought all things work together for the good of them that love God, them that's called according to his purpose. Well, God knows. God knows. We don't know. There's a lot of things in this world we're not going to know till we get to heaven. And you know what that's called? Go ahead and live anyway. That's called living by faith. That's called loving Jesus in spite of circumstances. He did you. And so what we've got to do is Romans chapter 15. Look at verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the what? The scriptures might have hope. Look at verse 13. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I went to Bible college. Brother Elwood Seamster taught one of the things he taught was Old Testament survey, and then he taught some other things. But Elwood Seamster said this. He said there's a mention principle in studying the Bible. If it's twice mentioned twice, pay twice as much attention to it. If it's mentioned three times, pay even more attention to it. Pay a lot of attention to it. And here, we've had it three times, the God of hope, the God of peace. Now, let me tell you something. If we'll look for the positive, believe the positive, look for the purpose, believe in the purpose, and then go by the promises of God. Go by the promises of God. And then utilize those promises. Pick up, look, this is a whole book of promises. Most people think this is a book of condemnation, but not for the believer. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. When I read my Bible, I don't look for the condemnation. I have been saved from the condemnations of the law. I look for the promises of God that he gives to me as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and a follower as the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said it, I'll read it again, there in chapter 15. Look at it, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. Amen. My wife held up a sign and said, amen. Somebody else is saying amen. But look, my hope, that's it. My hope's built on him. My hope, look, the president's a wonderful guy. I'll vote for him again. I will. Not ashamed of that. You vote for whoever you want to, and don't be ashamed of who you vote for. You got that right. I'll die for your right to do that. But my hope's not in any president. No. I respect some people. I love some people. I honor some preachers. I think they're wonderful preachers and pastors and evangelists. But my hope's not in them. If they fall tomorrow, it will not affect my hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, not one iota. Everybody in this church, we got a loving church, and boy, we average about 100 now until this stuff started, and a lot of good people here. Most of them are loving and gentle and kind, and I probably could call any one of them tomorrow if I needed something. If they didn't have it, they'd help me get it. But my hope's not in the members of this church. My hope's in Jesus Christ. Now, how do I know those hopes? They're in the Scriptures. Jesus said, search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. If you'll read the Scriptures, you'll find the promises, you can be more positive, and you can look for the purpose. But how are you going to do that without the Scriptures? You can't. Now get you a Bible, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Get you one and read it. You say, preacher, I don't know where to read. Well, just start in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is all about Jesus, his teachings and his preaching and his actions. Read the Gospel of John through one time. Read it all the way through. Maybe you have to read, and you got a lot of time on your hands, by the way. Those ain't working. You can read 4 or 5 chapters a day. You read more than that in the newspaper and magazines and watch television and everything else. Read you 4 or 5 chapters a day, and then meditate on what he said, and then do it again the next day and again the next day. And I'll guarantee you, before you get through with the Gospel of John, you'll have more hope. You'll have more hope, and you'll be more positive with your outlook, and you'll start realizing your purpose on planet Earth. Everybody here has a purpose, and you'll find yours. Then when you get through reading John, read it again. Read it again. There's things in there you didn't see the first time, or maybe you misunderstood. Read it again. Read the Gospel of John through at least twice. I'd say 3 times. You'll find your hope. Then when you get through that, read the other Gospels and the rest of the Bible. Now don't turn to Revelation or Leviticus or Deuteronomy and those things and look for hope. There's a lot of judgment in there. There's hope too, but until you learn what your hope is in Christ, those things are going to scare you more than anything else. Read your Bible. That's where my hope is. I find it in the Word of God, the inerrant, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And get your old King James Bible. And some of you have been taught different than that. The guy at the bookstore with the latest one, he's trying to make money and make sales, and they are too. It was good enough. Good. If your grandma could understand it, surely you can. If your grandpa could, surely you can. So get your old King James Bible and read it, and you'll find out where our hope is. It is written, he said. It is written. And so now, I'm going to believe the positive, and I know people's getting sick, but I'm still going to be positive. If I get sick, I'm going to be positive, because this too shall pass. This is not the end of the world. It's not. And then I'm going to look for the purpose. The purpose is not to punish everybody, though some deserve it, we all deserve it. The purpose of this is not to punish the world or to punish these other people, because if that was the purpose, then Christians wouldn't get it. But that's not the purpose. It's a sin-cursed world full of germs and death and sickness, and we're always going to go through these things until we either get delivered by going to heaven through death, or the trumpet sounds and he takes us out of here in the rapture. Look for the purpose. And then take those promises that God's given you in the Word of God, and you've got to read the Bible to know those promises. Don't go by some preacher on television. You don't know what he's after. He may be after a new jet airplane wanting you to send him money. Look. Get your Bible, read your Bible, study the Scriptures, search the Scriptures, and you'll find your promises that God wants to give you. Then you can think on those things which are good and lovely and pure and virtuous and all those. You don't know what they are till you read the Bible. And then look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. After you get yourself fixed, amen. After you get yourself fixed and you get out from under that fear that you're living under, you say, well, preacher, you're afraid too. That's why you won't let people come to church. No, that's not it at all. This is safety. In the Bible, they had leper colonies, you know. You don't go to places where people are sick unless you take precautions, you're a doctor, whatever. We close church not because we're afraid. We close the church because senior citizens and folks and who wants a baby to catch this, you know? But we're not afraid. We're not holed up. We haven't got the doors barred and the windows nailed shut, you know. But look for, be positive. Look for the purpose. Utilize those promises. Then you can do this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4. You start believing positive. You start looking for that purpose. Find your purpose. And by the way, every one of you's got a purpose. You can't die till God fulfills that purpose. You can't do it. He ain't gonna let it happen until you fulfill that purpose. Now, unless you get out of his will, and he just has to take you out. Now, listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4. We'll start with verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Now, wait a minute. Stop right there. That's a promise. But wait a minute. Now, what am I going to do with that promise? The next part. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, once you start thinking right and positively and you start looking for your purpose, you get in the will of God, and then you start reading the promises in the Word of God and claiming those promises, then you can encourage other people. See, if you're negative and fearful, you can't encourage nobody else. You'll be like old Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh. Somebody say, it's a beautiful day. And you say, yeah, it'll probably rain, yeah. Or something like that, you know. People will do that, you know. You'll be having a wonderful day and boy, God's blessed you and you claiming his promises. You got that right mind. You're positive and you know you're living in the will of God. You're in his purpose. And, boy, you're just so happy. Who was it that said, I heard a preacher say this one time. Sammy Allen said this. You know, our churches have a lot of, every once in a while, people have come through. We call it wildfire, not have to strange fire. That's an Old Testament story about some people that offered fire they shouldn't have, and God killed them. But he said this about people. They'll come in our church, and they'll get on fire for God, you know, and they'll shout and wave their hands, you know. And some of them might start trying to speak in tongues, and some of them might try to be turn Pentecostal or something, you know. And Sammy Allen looked around that church full of preachers. He said, you fellas ain't got to worry about that. He said, if you get any fire in your church, there's enough old wet dish rags already there to put out any fire you might get. Amen. And so they come along, you know, and you're all fired up and you're trying to be positive and things around the world look like they're going to hell in a handbasket and you're just having a good time in the Lord, and they'll come around and for every positive thing you got to say, they got something negative. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Now, you need to stay away from those people. They got a sickness too. Amen. They got a sickness too. They do. It's called lack of faith. It's called lack of charity. It's called lack of love. We need to take the experiences that we have that God put us through and he comforted us. We need to take that experience and comfort other people who are going through sickness and trial and tribulation and death and heartache and heartbreak. And there's more to it than a little virus running around here. People's dying and people's getting sick and hurting. And they need somebody that will encourage the people that love them. Well, I just get some, that's probably my number one pet peeve is these people that come around and, boy, they don't want to encourage anybody. They want to discourage everybody. I can't stand that. People come to me before I preach on Sunday mornings. I'll be in such a good mood. I'm about to preach, man. I'm happy to be here and I'm happy to be alive and I'm thanking God I'm saved on my way to heaven and I want to share that. And some old wet dish rag walk up with that long face and that long tongue, start whining and complaining about how bad things are and just try to ruin my sermon. That's all they're trying to do. And look, don't let people do that. You encourage people. And don't let them discourage you. When they try to discourage you, here's what you do. Smile and say, yeah, but there's so much better going on than that. God's been good to me. Look at you. You made it to church. Look at you. You're still walking. You're still talking. You're still breathing. You'll thank God you can do those things, you know, and they'll shut up. They'll shut up. But see, God lets us go through these things. And he's the God of grace and comfort, and he gives us comfort by his Holy Ghost, not just to soak it up like a sponge, that's selfish and self-centered, but he says, there in verse four, he says that we would comfort other people the way he has comforted us. Now, God's been good to me. I ain't got no complaints. If I got what I deserved, I'd already be in hell. If I got what I deserve, I'd be eat up with every kind of disease that ever existed. If I got what I deserved, I'd be lonely and all by myself. But thank God he's God of comfort. He has saved me. He keeps me. He blesses me. He supplies all my needs from his riches in glory. He hears me when I pray. He answers my prayer. And when it is his will that I get sick, and sometimes it is, or that I go through trial and tribulation, and sometimes it is, if it's his will to do that, I know there's a purpose for it, and he's going to comfort me while I'm going through it. Thank God. Thank God. Now, last one, Psalm 40, verse 3. See, it's so much easier when y'all ain't here to make me go on and on. I'm not hearing people say sick in preacher or amen or anything that just makes me preach longer. My wife says it's coming up on the phone though, but I'm not discouraging that. I'm just teasing. Look at Psalm 40, verse 3. Psalm 40. Now, I'm talking about King James Bible. Yours may not have this. In some Bibles, that verse may not even be in there. They take so many out. Psalm 40, verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. Wow. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Verse 2, he says he brought him up out of a miry pit and established his way, put his feet on a rock. And he said, look, he put a new song in my heart. So I'm going to believe the positive about what God says is positive, and I'm going to look for the purpose in my life going through this stuff, and I'm going to utilize the Word of God, the promises that he gave me, and I'm going to encourage other people that I've been through. Now I can encourage them as they're going through it, and I'm going to sing God's praises. I'm going to sing God's praises. And look what he said, though. He said he put a new song in my mouth. Now, that's not a song never been written. That's a new song to the writer. Now, boy, a bunch of us got new songs. We used to sing Heartbreak Hotel and the blues and everything else and the death and destruction. And now God's put some new songs in our heart. Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Standing on the promises of God. There shall be showers of blessing. God's going to bless me. He's going to shower me with blessing. Farther along, we'll know all about it, the songwriter says. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Tested and tried and tempted, but farther along, we'll know all about it. Even praise. And then look what he says at the end of that verse. Many shall see it. See, when people see what Christians go through, and they hear us praising God anyhow, you know, just look up to heaven and say, hallelujah anyhow. And when they see all of that, you know, when they see that and they hear that, many shall see it. Now, if people don't know you're saved, that means you're not praising God in public. That's right. There's no such thing as a secret Christian. Believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth. If you're not confessing it, then nobody knows it. If nobody knows it, you're a useless testimony. And what we ought to do is when these people say, well, you hear about old so-and-so and they got that new disease and it looks like they're going to die, say, well, hallelujah anyhow. God's been good to me. I'll pray for them. God's been good to me and he's been good to you too. You're standing here. Praise the Lord. And they'll see that and the world will see that. I remember I walked into the emergency room, Rock Hill emergency room one day, and a lady in the church, her husband was getting some heart work done on him. I went there and the family looked so sad, you know, and they looked so downtrodden. And right there in the middle of it, I said, y'all come over here. And we all stood, and some of them weren't Christians, but they did it. And they had a big old circle there holding hands. I said, we're going to pray for this man that God will guide the doctor's hand and that he'll heal him. And did you know that God guided that doctor's hand and healed that man and brought him up out of that place and sent him back home? And did you know those people, everybody in that emergency room heard that and saw that. We didn't go in there all downtrodden. There ain't no hope. We went in there and said, there is hope. And thank God. Many shall see it. And then look what happened. And they'll fear. People tell me all the time nowadays, I said, there's no fear of God anymore. Well, could it be because they don't see God in anybody to fear anymore? I used to fear real Christians. I feared them. We all did. Us older generation, we might have been rotten as the devil himself, but we wasn't that way around Christians. We were afraid of them. We feared church. When I was a little boy, we didn't go to church, but if we went somewhere where we played basketball or something, and then the boys would go into church, it was always unlocked. We'd go in there to drink water, get some water out of the water fountain or something while we was playing basketball. I didn't run cut up in that church. I tiptoed through that church. They told me that was God's house. I feared God because I'd seen real Christians. And then that last verse, they'll see it, they'll fear, and shall trust in the Lord. You know, the day that we're in, we need more people trusting in the Lord. And how they going to do it if you don't sing that new song he put in your heart? There's some people, there might be somebody out there watching right now that you don't know the Lord, but you fear him, but you don't know how to get to him. Well, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. The Bible says that if you'll repent, Jesus said, Luke 13:3 and verse 5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repent means change your mind, turn around, turn to God. And then he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's Jesus, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You know, if you'll receive him, you can be saved. And you Christians, if you'd sing his praises more, people would fear him more and more would be saved. Don't hide your light under a bushel or something like that during this time. Let your light shine right now. Let it shine today. Now you ought not go many places, and I wouldn't eat out if you bought it. But everywhere you go, they ought to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. But they need to hear it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Talk to people about the Lord. If you don't know any scripture, tell them how he saved you and how good he's been to you. That's what we need in these times of fear. That's what we need. Now be careful. You don't want to get sick. God gave you common sense. Wash your hands. Every time you touch something, wash your hands. If you touch somebody, wash your hands. Stay away from people that are sick. We don't know who's carrying this stuff. I told you that one choir member went in that big church. There's 40-something people in that choir, and 41 of them got sick, and one of them died because of one person that didn't know she had it. But don't be afraid. Don't live in fear. If you can go to work, go to work. Stay away from people. You know, do whatever you got to do. But don't let fear rule your life. Believe the positive. Look for the purpose. Utilize those promises in the scriptures. Encourage other people. Sing God's praises. And if you don't know him, you don't know for sure if you died, you go to heaven. This is a scary time. It'd be good to stop right now and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I don't want to go to hell. And I believe Jesus died for my sins. And the best way I know how, I'm asking him to save me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Take me to heaven when I die. And if I die from here on out, I'm going to be trusting you and nothing else to take me to heaven. And if you'll do that, he'll save you and you'll know it. And then get into scripture. Read John. Now, I got to go. I done went over time. But I hope y'all have a great day. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful day. Stay safe. Stay well. And then tonight, this afternoon at 6 o'clock, we'll come back and do it again. Share this. As soon as I stop, you can stop the thing and you can press share right there and you can share it with your friends and your family or any groups you might belong to. You can share it to them. You can share it in personal message or you can just share it on your page. Whatever you want to do, share it. Get the word out there. All right. I love you and I hope you have a wonderful day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercy, your grace, your long suffering, your goodness. Thank you for health and wealth. Lord, thank you for a new mind and a new heart and a new song and a new name and a new place to live when we die in heaven. Bless these folks today. Put a hedge around them. Any that's sick, we pray you'd deliver them, Lord. Heal them if you will. And then one day when we get to heaven, we'll know all these things. Until then, let us walk by faith, trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Goodbye.